You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. This is the day of days. We like to call it Friday. So welcome to Friday here on another edition of Right Side Radio. I tell you what, Butters, we got a massive like explosion slash applause effect. We got Friday, hit it. Woo, Friday!
I'm just hitting all the buttons.
We just find you another one in there, man. There's bound to be another sound effect somewhere. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm ready for the weekend, I guess. So, beautiful weather. I mean, it's been a good week.
It looks like it's going to be a nice one. Last Saturday was rainy and all that kind of stuff, which spoils my morning. My Saturday morning favorite is to get up early, get a cup of coffee. I don't care how cold it is outside. I bundle up. I get a blanket if I have to, and I sit on the back deck and stare and drink coffee for like an hour. It's just like
that sounds therapeutic.
It's absolutely therapeutic. Deck therapy, I like to call it.
Nice, nice.
It's right up there with Jeep therapy. Yeah. All right, we got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today, our friend Stephanie Smith is calling in. She just the API, the Alabama Policy Institute, just issued their report on gambling, and I'm interested to hear what all she's got to say on it, plus whatever else she might know about what's going on down yonder in Montgomery. I got several things on that that'll lead up to the conversation that we will discuss as part of our dippers, but yeah, Stephanie Smith, President, Alabama Policy Institute, 3 p.m., stand by for that.
Are we taking wagers on what she has to say?
I think she's going to say bad gambling, gambling bad. And here's the deal. She's going to say it in a way that gives us the deep dive, I guarantee you, because they've just done a full-blown study and published a paper. So, yeah.
Nice.
All right. Then I got a whole triple dipper full of stuff, man. So hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first out the gate, we're going to talk about what I'm calling the same old legislative story. It's amazing to me the things that get done every year or don't get done every year, the bills that come back over and over again, the bills that are so bad no one wants to vote for them, but they still bring them back every year. And then there's the things that you wonder, why hasn't that happened yet? We're going to talk about some of the same old legislative stories. Number one on the triple dipper, so stand by for that one. And then number two, I didn't get to it yesterday, so I got to get to it today because you know what's crazy is when I go home at night, turn on the news, and realize they're talking about things on my show. Well, one of the things that is developing right now is how much the world is getting tired of the whole DEI movement, diversity, equity, inclusion. DEI-OMG, that's what the number two on the triple dipper is. DEI-OMG, stand by. We'll talk about it as number two. And then number three, this one really gets under my skin, the war on Christianity. And if you think for a second that this is really not happening, it's just like there's the occasional incident. No, there's a movement. There's a sentiment. There's even a mockery right now of Christianity. Like, for instance, one that's not even in my stack of stuff because it just happened. I just posted it on my Twitter feed. You can find me, by the way, on Twitter at Sin, that's S-E-N, at Sin Phil Williams. Guy swearing his oath to be a new president of the school board in a county in Virginia as a sort of a slapback against conservatives and Christians. He swore his oath on a stack of gay porn. That's where we are right now, the war on Christianity. We'll talk about that as number three on the triple dipper. All right, listen, now I'm going to move over here to my monologue. It's a good one. Let me tell you, the Daily Monologue, just so you remember, is sponsored for us by Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all over our listening area. Y'all, this open 7 days a week. Just sees all ages, pediatric all the way up to geriatric. Southern Immediate Care with locations in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around Birmingham. I'm just telling you. And they're owned, by the way, by a Right Side Ruffian. And this is who I use personally. I go to the get Southern Immediate Care in my area. So you check them out. Southern Immediate Care if you need care. And yes, they are the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, so let me jump in here. I read a story yesterday that I had never heard before. And I'll be honest with you, I'm drawn to stories of heroics under fire, people who went to extreme lengths to carry the fight to the enemy. But I'm also drawn to the stories of the fights to make sure that their brothers in arms made it home. The fights, the rescues, the foxhole friendships. I was raised that way, and honestly, I was trained that way. When I attended the U.S. Army Ranger School, you can imagine that there was long days and sleepless nights and forced marches, and you would be right. There were small unit tactics, mountaineering, patrolling, airborne and air assault operations. There was swamp phase, mountain phase, and desert phase. Ranger School was designed to be one of the hardest endurance races a man could ever run. And at Ranger School, I lost 32 pounds. I was hospitalized once. And of the 450 who had orders for my class, only 250 made it past day one. Only 98 were in the graduation photo. I learned a lot about advanced leadership and small unit force-on-force combat. I learned a lot about myself. And I learned the enduring value of knowing that among the men you trained with, there was a code of leaving no man behind. You see, nearly every single day at Ranger School, we were required to recite the Ranger Creed at the top of our lungs. It wasn't just a discipline or some funky part of being hazed by the instructors. It was an effort to embed in us the things that we should always stand for. Every one of the six stanzas of the Ranger Creed begins with one of the letters of the word Ranger. And to this day, some 32 years later, I can still recite it, beginning with the first stanza that says, "Recognizing that I volunteered as a ranger, fully knowing the hazards of my chosen profession, I will always endeavor to uphold the prestige, honor, and high esprit de corps of the rangers." So every stanza in the Ranger Creed is a lesson. It's an emphatic recitation of a code for life. It's an acknowledgement of the need for sacrifice and high standards. And we memorized it because the expectation was that we would live it, no matter what, no matter where or when or how long. It's called a creed for a reason. And among the many things that the Ranger Creed espouses is a phrase embedded in the fifth stanza. It says unequivocally, "I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy." It's a statement. It's a rule. So yeah, when I read the story yesterday of what is called Pardo's Push, it struck me that no man left behind is a pretty strong bond. So if you've never heard the story of what fighter pilot Bob Pardo did over the skies of Vietnam in 1967, well, prepare yourself, because it was epic. So in March of 1967, Major Bob Pardo, with his weapons systems officer Steve Wayne, was leading a flight of 2-4 F-4 Phantoms on an air-ground attack on the North Vietnamese government's only steel mill. It was a key strategic target. It was located in Hanoi. So yeah, the mission was obviously deep behind enemy lines, and the target site was heavily defended. Pardo's wingman was Captain Earl Amon, piloting the second F-4 Phantom jet, with his own weapons officer, Bob Houghton, in the back seat. They were struck by anti-aircraft fire and began losing fuel at a rapid rate. Pardo wasn't much better off. He had taken several hits as well. Both planes began slowly losing altitude, but Amon's plane, it was not going to have the range to make it back to a safe zone for combat search and rescue. So talking about it later, Pardo said, "But I couldn't see leaving a guy I just fought a battle with." So he radioed up to Amon. He says, "I'm going to try and give you a push. Fly that thing as smooth as you've ever flown." Now think about what I just said. Pardo was flying a shot-up fighter jet himself, and he said he's just going to nudge on up to another jet and push it. Well, the plan was to put his nose against the tail of the other aircraft and then feather his engines along till he could get them both over Laos, where they could have combat search and rescue pick them up. But there was so much turbulence from the damaged plane that Pardo couldn't get closer than maybe 10 feet. So he went to plan B. Pardo then maneuvered his own Phantom underneath his wingman's plane. He inched upward with the intent to try what he called a piggyback push. I mean, this is totally being made up as he went along. They don't teach this stuff in flight school. But plan B wasn't a workable solution, and Pardo began to have to back off again. Well, by then, the other plane was losing its engines altogether and entered into a controlled guide, a glide. But as Pardo backed off, he saw the tail hook on the bottom of his wingman's plane. He thought, well, that might work. So he radioed up and he told Amon, "Put the hook down." And then Pardo eased his own damaged Phantom into the position where the steel tail hook hanging below Amon's plane that is used to catch the cables on a carrier landing, began to be braced against the frame of his own glass canopy, and he began pushing his own plane, increasing the thrust so his engines could help compensate for the loss of power in Amon's plane. And then immediately the rate of descent was cut in half. But Pardo's windshield began cracking, but he still kept his plane in position at great risk to himself. And then he pushed the damaged plane with his two comrades, but Pardo's left engine then caught fire and flamed out. He worked overtime on his rudders, but the descent began to go down over enemy territory, so in direct violation of normal procedures, Pardo then restarted his engine and ran it for 10 overheating minutes. Both planes made it out of North Vietnamese airspace. Both crews ejected, several injuries among them. But all four men were able to evade Laotian guerrillas on the ground, and they were rescued. Pardo said that night they went to the club. They didn't have to buy a single drink. They partied together till midnight, and the next day, he and his weapons officer drew a new F-4 Phantom, and they went back and bombed that same steel mill target over Hanoi again. Pardo was actually admonished by his higher command for what was considered a highly dangerous and abnormal rescue procedure. He was threatened with charges, but his own squadron commander intervened. He had saved another two men's lives. It took 20 years, but he and his weapons officer, Steve Wayne, they were finally awarded the Silver Star for their heroic effort to leave no man behind. Over time, Pardo also earned two Distinguished Flying Crosses and a Purple Heart. He retired as a lieutenant colonel, and Bob Pardo passed away last week at the age of 89. So now Pardo's push is a legend. It's the epitome of no man left behind. It's part of a creed, and we need more men like that. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, just, I mean, can you imagine? No man left behind, right? No man left behind is not just a phrase. It's not the thing you think about. It's the way it's indoctrinated, it's trained, it's built in, it's embedded in the psyche of the individuals who fly together or sit in the foxhole together or go to sea together. No man left behind. Well, Pardo's push is now legend. Can you imagine bracing a tailhook against his glass canopy and pushing another plane along till they got into friendly airspace or semi-friendly airspace? Epic. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, a little history for you. No man left behind. We'll be right back.